This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Hey, this is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The 2024 season has begun.
Yes, sir.
The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. Happy to be with you. Well. Patrick does it again.
Looks like everyone you knew was right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's as close as it gets for I was really kind of rooting for a double overtime. But I guess,
you know, wouldn't have mattered because they would have just won in double overtime.
I know. And this is our first opportunity to react to what you saw 2 days ago. Thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
Repetitive,
slow burn.
You know, it was a slow burn, and you guys know me. Like, I'm all offense. I'll take, you know, if the NFL were to say we're doing 10 guys on defense, I would be like, heck yeah. I absolutely loved that game. I mean, I just thought it was best Super Bowls I can remember. I thought it was tremendous.
First half was my fault because I was doing a lot of grilling during the first half, and I didn't want to miss anything significant.
Gotcha.
And so I asked them to slow it up.
Okay.
And once the burgers were in hand, they got it going. But no, I mean, it was – we all knew – everybody in the world knew what was going to happen at the end of the game. I think Kyle Shanahan deep down knew.
The 49ers didn't because they didn't know the rules.
Well, they didn't know the rules, and let me be honest, neither did I.
Hey.
I
didn't know the rules either. But you know what? I'm not an NFL head coach.
My whole mindset, like I missed the part where they put the renovated rules. It's the first time they've ever played under them. I was still in regular season mode.
Tell the people what those are. Because so, I think based on us not knowing, I think there's a lot of people that might not even be aware.
I'm not
now.
Ashamed to admit that I blanked out. Like half of the 49ers players didn't know. Where in the regular season, both teams must possess the ball unless the first team possessing the ball scores a touchdown. That ends the game in the regular season. In the playoffs, both teams must possess the ball except for one rare condition, which is if the first team with the ball, they get sacked for a safety, the game ends.
Or defensive score, too. Just any defensive score.
No, just a safety.
What?
I think that's
it's
true.
Just
really?
A safety, yeah. So see, we still don't know the rules.
We got to look into that.
It is supposed to be just a safety.
A pick six doesn't – like, a pick six is then both teams have possessed the ball.
But Mike, don't argue with me. Argue with the rule.
I don't know.
You can correct me. I could be wrong. But I went into overtime just saying, like, on that fourth down play when they kicked the field goal with Jake Moody down in the near the red zone, I was like, you have to go for it there because you don't want to give Mahomes the ball. But he would have gotten the ball anyway. And then the Chiefs have come out and said – they were going to go for two if they had scored the touchdown, and they would have gotten the two because they're the Chiefs. And here we are. Kyle Shanahan is sad again. This is the third Super Bowl of sadness.
He should stop trying to get to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't go well for him. So he can avoid this sadness if he just
like celebrate the NFC Championship game like he won the Super Bowl.
No, I'm just
saying.
And
then say, hey, you guys take it from here. Yeah. I did my job.
I'm saying slow down on the winning. Just, you know what I mean? If you lose a little earlier in the season, you don't have
quite as
significant a loss.
Yeah, so we have another. We have a dynasty, and we already have reports. Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, both returning. They'll have an opportunity next year, likely with far better wide receivers, to do what no team in the history of the National Football League has ever done, which is to win three consecutive Super Bowls. This will be the storyline of the entire year, and it's exactly what Roger Goodell would like it to be.
Yeah, and for fantasy football, the fantasy football world at least, Travis Kelce has let us know that he is going for the three-peat, so he'll be back.
Yeah, so...
Also, he was very mad at Andy Reid.
Yes.
That blew my mind when he was screaming at Andy Reid like that right in his face.
Well, I mean, mistakes happened when he was not on the field. And he's, I mean, Travis Kelce wasn't getting the ball. And he was just like, get me the ball. Throw me, plant, scheme me up, man.
Well,
I would have been mad if I were a superstar too.
So that
not
was,
getting the ball.
That was the kind of like second story.
Taylor's watching this. You know that, right? She's up there.
The Super Bowl was this kind of the second big storyline on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The big one, obviously, the Ultimate Draft Kit.
Obviously. Yeah,
baby. Available right now at ultimatedraftkit.com. In fact, if you order it before March 1st, you get a chance to come play with us in the Listener League. We're going to give an entry away to our Listener League. You get it at the lowest possible price. You get $15 worth of gift cards to Shop Ballers and Fantasy Champs. You get a free digital copy of our book, which is the Fantasy Football Unleashed, 55 Tips, Tricks, and Ways to... 55! Thank you. To win. And the mobile app is available now, too. So ultimatedraftkit.com, this is the time you want to get in there. If you get the UDK Plus, all of our Dynasty Pass content is available right now, which means
sure is.
Rookie rankings, Dynasty Startup rankings, team opportunity pages, trade targets for Dynasty, a whole lot of great Dynasty resources, which, look, we're jumping right in. I mean, it's 2024 preseason right now.
Yeah, and even though you're getting the Dynasty stuff right now, it will continue to update as the season goes along. And obviously, if you're getting the Dynasty information, you're getting the UDK Plus, which means you'll have the draft analyzer for after your draft. You'll have in-season content for any DFS and betting that we do throughout the year. It's just a really good deal right now. And like Andy said, if you get it before March 1st, you can maybe get in the Listener League, play with us.
Anything to add, Mike? Are you all good?
Nope. I mean, well, it's great. The UDK?
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Personal reactions to the Super Bowl. I didn't want to see sad Shanahan. I had picked the 49ers to win by three. You guys both picked the Chiefs. You're obviously geniuses. I mean,
Thank you.
Yeah.
Unrivaled.
Yeah.
What's the situation in Deucer's Alley? Who were you guys rooting for?
I was pulling for the Niners.
You were?
Yeah, I rooted for the Niners.
Now, that actually, Papa Josh?
Niners.
I was actually shocked by that reply from Al Borland because you went a different direction than Jordan Love, your quarterback. Because Jordan Love said, verbatim, the Niners just beat us. There's no way I can root for them. But I guess you don't really...
I mean, there's some advantage to losing to the number one team. Yeah. And
is that the story?
I like Brock Purdy a lot. So
that is a common ration, you know, a way to rationalize your defeat.
Yeah.
Like, I've done that before. Like, when we played flag football, if the team that beat us went on to win the title, you're like, I lost to them.
Yeah.
I lost to the best.
For sure.
But I guess that means the Packers did not lose to the best.
I think most of the world was rooting for the 49ers. It's fun to see greatness, to see a dynasty and all that, but also you get sick of it. You get tired of it. I was not rooting for the Chiefs until they were up against the Niners. As a Cardinal fan, it's against my religion to root for the 49ers.
Yeah, I guess to be fair, I was kind of rooting hard for the Lions on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. We had Kelce with 9 for 93 in that game. McCole Hardman, 3 for 57, because of course. You now have Hardman, Tony, and Sky Moore are the receivers that caught touchdowns in the Super Bowl the last 3 years. Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman, the leading wide receivers. Like, Rashi Rice did very little.
You brought it up before the show, but the fact that last year the stars were Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, and this year the stars were MVS, you know, and Mecole Hardman, and back-to-back Super Bowl victories, they don't, I mean, goodness gracious, you don't, how is that possible? How can you have that level of...
You still had Travis.
Sure, I mean, you've got Kelce
there. 9 for 93.
I mean, it just seems impossible that those weapons can win a Super Bowl.
They had a super difficult path getting to the Super Bowl and to win it, and it's just, we're watching a legend. He's got better numbers before 30 than Brady did. You know, 3 Super Bowls, 3 Super Bowl MVPs. It's unbelievable. So credit where credit is due. He just, I kept saying he's like Steph Curry.
Yeah.
It's like you give him the ball at the end of the game, you're like, man, everyone knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, and the Kansas City defense was pretty awesome.
Specifically second halves in the playoffs, Steve Spagnuolo in the second half of games. Like, we were all mocking the fact that, like, the Ravens stopped running the football. Well, guess what? I mean, the 49ers stopped running the football until they, you know, towards the very end, they handed it off a few more times. But, you know, they had 3 yards or something through the all of the third quarter. It was just kind of a defensive gem.
Mm-hmm. Also, I got to give a shout-out to Peter Schrager. I mean, okay. This dude, he has called the Super Bowl, like, I don't know how many years in a row now he has got it right before
just
the beginning
winner?
Of the
winner?
The winner. It's like 5 or 6 years in a row.
Before the beginning of what?
Before the beginning of the season that he has been correct.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got the winner?
He's got the winner so many times in a row, it's impossible.
So Tampa?
He got the Tampa, he got the Rams, he got, in fact, like if
so
you
he,
go,
he, oh, both teams?
Well, he doesn't
this year
always,
he did. He's
this
Chiefs
year
over
he got
49ers.
Yeah, Chiefs over 49ers. I mean, it's like, at this point, we now know.
Coming from the future?
It is the script.
Mm.
I mean, he works with the NFL. He's part of the writing staff, obviously.
All right, let's talk some news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, it is going to be news season. And get this, guys. The Patriots.
Okay.
Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Unlikely to be their quarterback.
What?
Likely a trade candidate.
Oh, man, people banging down the door.
What a shocker.
Begging to give their 7th-round pick away.
Jim Harbaugh came out and said Austin Eckler is, quote, a tremendous back. We'd love to have him back on the Chargers.
Yeah. Well, there's a way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think tremendous from Jim Harbaugh is going to translate to tremendous in Austin Eckler's bank account. I think the tremendous gap, maybe, in financial compensation.
Well,
but,
you cut the quote off. It was the actual quote was tremendous back. We'd love to keep him on the Chargers for free is what the rest of the quote was. Yeah, we just cut off the for free part. I don't think they're going to pay him a lot of money.
Cole Kmet said he sustained a broken right forearm in week 18. So he's got an off season
right.
to recover.
Yep.
And this was one of the storylines getting tossed around.
Here we go.
This is what I mean. It's like it's news season.
This is the good stuff.
The Bears want historic compensation for the number one overall pick. So if somebody wants to come at it, honestly, for this to get out there, this is more Caleb Williams confirmation to me, which I know we've had a lot of discussions about what the Bears should do. But to me, the ending of this season further confirms my position on it,
mm-hmm.
which is that you don't win Super Bowls, and I mean this in the statistical percentage opportunity. Yes, I know Trent Dilfer exists. Yes, I know that Foles won a Super Bowl.
Flacco,
yes. But you're not going to be able to go very long here in this.
No,
in
I'm done with the guys I can think of that aren't legends.
You
winning
don't
Super Bowls.
Win Super Bowls without legends at quarterback. And Justin Fields is fine. But teams that think that they can win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill and Daniel Jones and, you know, Justin Fields is in that category to me right now. I think we as a fantasy community, we look at Justin Fields and we elevate him slightly more than the NFL community will.
It's possible.
Because we know, you know, the numbers that he puts up statistically in the passing game are very, you know, they're below average. But because of the running game, we see him as a dominator on a weekly basis. But to me, it's like you have to move on. Because you and you're probably not getting a legend. Let me just say that. Like
this in Caleb Williams?
Sure. Yeah, like your odds are not that you get a Mahomes. Like your odds are that you don't. But you have to keep trying and you have to keep rebuilding. Every team out there, you have to keep trying to get a legend.
Yeah, and if you've got the number one pick and you've got the opportunity of drafting someone touted to potentially be a legend, I agree with you. I was on the keep Fields side. The defense was getting better. Get a ton of compensation. Just build a really rock-solid team around Justin Fields. I think they could do that and win a lot and not win the Super Bowl. And if that is your goal, and that's obviously every team's goal, then you've got to, I completely agree with you. I've flipped. You have to take the chance at finding, you know, a Hall of Famer. You win Super Bowls with Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to weigh in at all, Mike. That's just, it's crazy. Yeah. And a lot of people would come out and say, okay, look, you get Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. These are the people that lost to Patrick Mahomes this year. But they also are Super Bowl winning capable quarterbacks.
It's hard because what you're describing is basically like the 49ers, where the 49ers as a team, I mean, the 49ers in that game, like they kicked the Chiefs' butt for vast majority of the game. Like, no, they did.
I wouldn't say that.
The line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball was just dominated.
They didn't get a first down from the 4 minute mark. Like 4 minutes into the second quarter to the end of the third quarter, the 49ers didn't have a first down in almost two full quarters.
Right, but the Chiefs weren't doing much better.
Oh, defensively, the 49ers were exceptional.
Until they ran out of gas,
clearly.
The team, I thought the 49ers were actually the better team, and some things just, because football is wild, things just hit right for the Chiefs at the right time.
The 49ers are the example of the Foles, Flacco. Yes. Like, if you build a perfect roster around that quarterback, you can do it in the right year.
Yeah, so for Fields, I mean, I'd be open to both. I think the quote is more of, like, if I'm the GM and I have the number one pick and Caleb Williams and or whoever it is, which quarterback you like out of this crop, I'm just letting people know, don't waste my time. Like, I'm giving you a friendly courtesy. Don't waste my time. If you're going to call for the number one pick, you saw what I got last year. We'll start there. You know, like, give me a top-tier wide receiver and a trade back and a bunch of picks. Maybe we'll talk then.
Look, I know we're all excited about the draft already because we've been doing some scouting. We've got our initial release of the rookie rankings in the UDK Plus, and there are some really, really good football players in this upcoming draft. And I know the Dynasty trade offers are already going out there. I do want to talk about one more Super Bowl thing before we jump in the mailbag.
Sure.
Which is, because of the overtime rules, philosophically, people have different opinions on whether you should defer or whether you should take the ball. Now, I have my thoughts on it, but I'd like to get your reaction.
I am on the defer side, and I could see both, and actually I think it makes it really, really even. Like, super fair for both teams to have a legitimate chance at winning, but the value of going for it on fourth down is, I mean, if you stop them, obviously you can go down and win the game. It's over. But if you don't stop them and they come down and score a touchdown or a field goal, now you get four downs every single play, and it's hard. It's hard to stop. Like,
four downs per play is really special.
It's
that's unique.
It's hard to stop any NFL team that is constantly going for it on fourth that knows on second down that what they can call as a play call, they've got three more downs to go. It's I think it's a really unfair advantage where if a team actually played that way, like you just can't. You can't risk it. When it goes wrong, you're going to get just shoveled poop all over you as the head coach. But I do think if a team actually played that way, they would score so many points and win a lot of games because going for it on fourth, like you've seen the, like there was some college, I think it was a college or maybe it was a high school.
Where, I think it was a high school.
Where, you know, they were like this last place team and they just decided we're going to go for it on every single fourth down.
No punts.
Right. Never punt. And it like completely changed the program. Obviously, it's very different from the NFL, but I think
turning the ball over in your own zone two times in a row will end that. That'll be the end.
Yeah, going with that strategy, you're going to have huge wins or huge losses. Like there won't be close games, but I believe the follow-up on the story of that coach was then he was, of course, picked up by a different program, and then they just got shellacked.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a fourth and four and fourth and 15. I mean, those are just vastly different things. To me, I would have taken the ball. One, because the 49ers defense had been on the field so much and they needed rest. And two, because if the game ends up tied on two field goals, you're the first team in sudden death in that situation. But I do agree with the basic thing you said, Jay, which is really fair. If there's a debate to be had now in overtime on whether you defer or take the ball, that tells you they designed it the right way.
Yes.
As opposed to whoever wins the coin toss wins the game. I mean, that's how it was.
And yeah, it's so wild of the pressure to get a touchdown with that first possession. Of not just making up now the other team has to score a touchdown, but I'm saying you kick the field goal, and now what Jason was saying of this team has four downs, and all they have to get to keep the game going is a field goal, but they can now have a huge opportunity to go get a touchdown. Yeah. I would defer. I don't think you're wrong of the
– a lot more pressure on that side.
Looking at your team of my defense is exhausted.
Right.
So, which the 49ers got their defense a massive amount of rest on defense with that with the opening drive of overtime. So they should have been ready to go.
The 49ers had two – I mean, when it comes down to it, they had two opportunities for their defense to get a stop. The end of regulation, at the end of overtime, they couldn't do it either time, and that was the difference.
And the
either stop and you win the Super Bowl.
Did you guys see the clip of the Hardman touchdown was almost identically what the Tony touchdown was in the last Super Bowl?
Yeah, because Andy Reid eats your lunch, man.
He sat on that play.
That's why he's
– He eats your lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's try it again with those nuggies.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. Back with some mailbag today. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, first mailbag of 2024, Mike. Here we go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag! Oh! That's fine. That's good. That's good, Mike. Don't worry. Don't
I
you
startled
get,
myself at the
you
end.
Don't you get worried about that. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the Submit a Question button. Or you can dial our voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. And here we go. The first question comes from Instagram. Christian Bjorn writes in, which 2023 first rounder will fall the furthest in ADP in 2024? So, ooh. Brooks, do you – oh, you do have it here. So, the first round last year, consensus was CMC, Jefferson, Chase, Eckler, Kelsey, Hill, Robinson, Saquon, Chubb.
Oh, yeah, it's Chubb.
Diggs, yeah. Brown, Henry.
Okay, take Chubb out.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's true.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if he's in camp and he's going to play, he's not going to drop further than some of these guys.
I would be very surprised if it is not Nick Chubb based on the injury. But
if I told you Nick Chubb was going to play in week one, would you disagree?
Would you change your opinion? We'll have to know where Austin Eckler and Derrick Henry are playing football, or if they're playing football. Those are the three players. Those three running backs to me are the question marks going into next season.
You don't think there's a chance Kelsey's the lowest of these guys?
I would be surprised if one of those three running backs doesn't drop
it
very
the,
far.
The list is fun in terms of fantasy turnover, because Eckler, Kelsey, I don't think are first rounders next year. Nick Chubb, I would be surprised. Stephon Diggs is not going to be a first rounder. Derrick Henry will not.
Mm-mm.
So it's going to be fun, because there will be a huge turnover in the
first. You're going to have Brees in the first round now.
Most likely, yeah.
You guys will be happy to know that with Kelsey's announcement to return next year, I will be riding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be riding with my old men once again.
That will be a gigantic question of the offseason for Dynasty Football. What do you do with Travis Kelsey?
I'm riding.
If you have a team that can win, Kelsey feels like a player that you just, at this point,
into the sunset.
Just let him turn into dust on your roster and get what you can get.
Yeah, you're putting on the cowboy hat.
I did notice.
And you're climbing on his back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he is crawling
he's
towards
you
the
a
sun.
Piggyback.
Oh, yeah. He is crawling towards the sun. He's a
strong man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look. He's not going to have a problem. I'm a heavy guy. No problem. Get on.
He looks a lot like his brother now that he grew that beard out too.
The playoff run for Travis Kelsey has to give you at least a decent amount of hope.
Absolutely. I wanted to pull up our dynasty.
He was great.
I'm pulling up our dynasty startup rankings.
Okay.
And I wanted to see where we were ranking tight ends. And so I have Kelsey at 3 still.
Okay.
Jason, you have him at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you have him at 5.
Yep.
These are the hardest players to rank in Dynasty.
He is impossible.
They're the hardest players possible to rank when they have 1 or 2 year expiration, right?
Yep.
But right now, that would mean that Kittle, Kincaid are guys that you have ahead of Kelsey. Mike, you both have McBride ahead of him. Hawkinson ahead of him.
It's funny on our.
It's wild. It's
on
a tough
our,
call.
Champ.
Hawkinson versus Kelsey is very difficult.
Our champ team, yeah, where we won back to back to back. We have Kelsey and McBride on that roster. When I was doing my startup rankings, it was really helpful to be like, well, which one would I rather have? And it was really clear having both of them on our roster. It's like McBride is a much better asset for Dynasty. If this was a startup draft, there's no way I would take Kelsey over McBride.
But I wonder how many starts. You start one tight end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll be curious who starts more games for you next year. And that's where the nuance is in the Dynasty startup, because if you drafted a Dynasty startup team, mm-hmm, that's built to win today, or you McBride's such a better future asset, but next year you might start Kelsey more than McBride.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. It's I'll just say this out loud. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off at some point, but I really would like to have some, I'll call them situational, like, toggles for rankings, especially in Dynasty,
okay,
where you can say something like, hey, I, like, because we had a debate this last weekend, two quarterback rankings.
Right.
In our Dynasty pass. Jason and I are more aligned in our view of the quarterback position in a two-quarterback startup draft.
Yep.
Where we have, they're not all ranked the same by any stretch of the imagination, but they're all
but
in the same.
But just your line of elevation.
Yes.
For the value.
So, like, we, you know, I think, Jason, you had, like, two at 25 in the startup, and I have him at 21, and Mike had him outside the top 50.
Right.
You know, or me and you had Herbert at 5 and 6, and then Mike had him outside the top 15. Because Mike philosophically I don't want to say it like a.
No, it's, I just view it differently.
You devalue them because you, yes, like building the team more traditionally, like a one quarterback, and then finding value at quarterback later in a, yeah, two quarterback.
That and on top of who, like the quarterbacks, especially like the decision, especially like Patrick Mahomes, right, has been the number one dynasty quarterback for, I mean, him and Josh Allen have flipped,
yeah,
but it's like, and in a two quarterback, Patrick Mahomes is in that range where you feel like this is an untouchable player for my team. But the last couple years, like, Mahomes has just been good. Like,
this year.
Where did he finish last year?
I believe he was one.
He was. But quarterback four.
You're
in
saying
21.
Because of variability, you get locked into one guy,
yeah,
if you invest a high pick.
In 2018, the breakout campaign where it was, holy crap, Patrick Mahomes, 5,050. Then he was the QB8. Then he was four. Then he was four. Then he was one.
But this
then
is,
he was eight.
This is where I'm saying, like, I'd like to be able to be in the Dynasty startup drafts under two quarterback and click a toggle that says later round quarterbacks.
Well, you, yeah, can. You just sort by Mike.
Okay,
that's the toggle.
That's fair. The toggle.
If
the
you,
toggle
want,
is
if you want that toggle, click,
all right,
Mike.
All right. So next question comes from Lab on IG. Who are the top five draft picks for 2024? I mean,
McCaffrey,
Jefferson, Lamb, Chase. Are they all in there?
And Hill,
Bijan.
I don't think Bijan will be top five.
I don't think he'll be top five.
So your four quarterbacks. So you just went exactly what the
the best ball ADP is.
That's what the best,
yeah,
ball ADP is. But I think that there'll be discussions for Bijan if you get excitement around Zach Robinson coming in. Maybe Breece Hall.
Maybe.
I don't know. You agree with that, Jay? Four wide receivers and a running back?
I do think it'll be that.
All right. Brandon writes in, keeper pick for 2024. Would you rather keep Gibbs or Mark Andrews? When you're looking at keeper selections, this is a good kind of overview opportunity. If this question does not have any round compensation stated, generally you want to look at keeper situations like this relative to where those players are going to go in the actual draft. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to go ahead of Mark Andrews.
For sure.
And because of that, you want to keep Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's really simple. It's just math. You don't want to, if you really want Andrews, then draft him. You can still draft him, you know, ahead of, you can't, Gibbs will go, I think, a
second
full
round yeah,
ahead of Andrews.
Yep, I agree. I think Andrews has a chance to be undervalued in the upcoming draft because we didn't see him at the end of the year. And the Laporta will grab a lot of headlines and Kelsey returning. So I think Andrews will be a third-round pick.
Yeah, he'll probably be the third drafted tight end. I think he goes behind Laporta and Kelsey. And if that is the case, then he'll be a very good value so long as he can stay healthy. I mean, that's the knock with Andrews. When he's out there,
it's been a problem.
He's great. He just needs to stay out there.
All right, another question coming in from Max. He says, keeper pick, would you take DJ Moore for a fifth rounder or Chris Olave for a second rounder? This is a pretty easy one for me.
Yeah,
is
it?
DJ Moore.
I think it's very easy. If, again,
me.
If you look at it from the standpoint of draft day value and what you can do. Like, Olave will go in the second round or maybe even later than the second.
Yeah,
like, it's, you're not even getting a value.
Probably third.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be in the third. So DJ Moore won't get to the fifth round in any of your drafts. So the value is just significantly
you want
on DJ Moore.
You want DJ Moore and Jahmyr Gibbs? Because if you give that second back, you could use the second on Gibbs.
And this is kind of the example of if you're someone that's like, I mean, obviously, we could be wrong, right? Olave could be so worth it. And if you are looking at this player and you're like, but I love him, I believe in him, I want him, you still don't keep him there. Because if he's going to go in the third round, just draft him with your second round. Draft him ahead, just like you would keep him for a second.
And,
DJ Moore at a value.
Who goes well above the fifth.
Yeah,
I was questioning of it, like, are you so sure? Just because of the variable of Caleb Williams. And while C.J. Stroud did what he did, and there was a little blurb of some, you know, like, I think what they were saying, Hall of Famers got together and said that the Stroud's rookie year, that was the best rookie quarterback year that they had seen. It was incredible. He broke every metric for fantasy football of rookie quarterbacks don't sustain top 15 fantasy wide receivers. He had essentially two of them in points per game with Tank and Nico. But I will still bet on rookie quarterbacks not sustaining a wide receiver even as good as I think DJ Moore is. So that was my only hesitation there. If it's a rookie, I'm going to be
– I get what you're saying, but Justin Fields threw for 2,500 yards. I mean, this is –
But his tendency was hyper-focused DJ Moore.
That will be Caleb Williams' tendency.
It could be.
I think it will be the tendency of the wide receiver core room when it's DJ Moore and nothing.
Unless they take Rome Odunze out of eight or something. Yeah.
The Bears are set up that they could go a rookie QB and a rookie wide receiver and just go all-out super-powered offense.
Yeah. No, it's worth bringing it up. But
Olave in the second is too rich, and I love Chris Olave.
I personally am on the side where I believe that the percentage chance of rookie quarterbacks doing what Stroud and Herbert did is going to ever increase, because that has been the evolution of the quarterback position and the offenses at the NFL level over time. We just went and looked at those old school passer ratings the other day.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where the eight of the top 10 passer ratings in football history are active quarterbacks today.
But and to go into that is – those quarterbacks you named were not the first quarterback drafted.
Well, I'm not saying you always get it right. I'm just saying that if you discount them all, it will be at the peril of the Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And
yes, you could have some big – you could end up with some big misses.
It just comes down to what you believe about those players.
Yep.
And you have to be willing to go with that. All right, Mike. Carter wants to know what percentage of trades that you send get accepted.
Ooh. What percentage of trades that I send get accepted?
Andy's
is
going to
be lower.
0.002%.
Because Andy's not afraid to just fire off a bunch of trades at once. Not saying you don't put thought into it, but you're...
No, you can say it however you want, man.
You are more likely to shoot a trade off. I really overthink even sending the trade offer.
If you fire 100 golf balls at a green,
right?
One of them goes in. Two might roll in. If you just cannon fire 100 golf balls at a green,
yeah, that's your secret. Because even though we talk about
endurance,
yeah, I'm like, yeah. you get 0.02% of your trades accepted. You still make the most total trades completed, which is incredible. Do you think about trades? Do you just
strategically? Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I'm saying, like, do you just open it up and go, this would be fun? Click, 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 click.
No. I don't. Okay. I think I sit down and I try to find two or three angles for every team, and then I start there, but then the, like, counters and stuff, they get ramped up.
All jokes aside, what percentage of your trades? I'm curious.
Oh,
all three
for each of us? Yeah. I mean, I would say like 3%.
I'd go 15 to 20-ish.
Yeah, I'm probably about 10%, I think, of my offers.
But it's...
What do you think, Papa Josh?
I said you go fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but But
it works. And it, to...
Gotta have the right bait, man.
Of Andy's strategy, and we talk about this a lot, of when you're making trades, hyper-targeting one player, like, because I'm going to get that guy, your leverage is zero. Your chance of actually getting that, you're going to have to overpay more than likely to go get that player, where Andy's just trying to find this. This improves my team because it's this player will fill some statistical holes that I need, and it may not be the elite superstar, but it helps my team.
It's Moneyball.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yes, very much Moneyball. I'll tell you why I close trades sometimes more than other people in our league. I don't get bogged down with the peripheral, non-important parts of the deal. I'm willing to overpay. I'm willing to give an extra pick so that the trade just hits you in the face like, I can't pass on that. You know, when I went after CeeDee Lamb, you know, it's just like, okay, you don't want to do it for a second? I'll give you 2 seconds. Just in 2 seconds, that's the decision I make. Is like, I'm going to make it so that you feel dumb not taking my trade, even though I want the best player out of the deal. And it doesn't always work, but it did this year. All right, would you trade AJ Brown straight up for the 2024 101 in a dynasty rookie draft? Would you trade AJ Brown away to basically get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No, I wouldn't. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is as good a prospect as we've seen since Megatron, just as far as like,
wow, that high up?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but at the same time, he hasn't done it on the NFL field. We don't know his landing spot. There are a lot of great, great looking wide receivers that don't hit the way we hope. AJ Brown already has hit. AJ Brown is a superstar.
Yes,
he's a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy next year in the draft. He's super young.
He'll be turning 27.
Yeah,
this year.
That's not super young compared to the other guys at the top of our dynasty. Like, he's the oldest of the top seven that we have by consensus, at 26.6 years old. You have him the highest, Jason, at 5 right now in our dynasty rankings. I got him at 7, Mike at 6. So I just think it's a gamble you could take.
Yeah. I mean, so would you?
I think I would. Yeah. I don't like some of what happened last year in Philly with AJ Brown. And so I do worry a little bit about the unraveling potential there.
So it is funny. Another way to think about the exact same thing is if this is a startup draft, and you can draft your picks. You know, you could draft the 101, wherever. It's a matter of saying, okay, I think Marvin Harrison then is, what, like a top 5, 6, 7, 8? Like, he's clearly a first round, not just rookie first round, but you're saying a first round startup pick.
I mean, if he's Kyler Murray's number one, and you guys are both very bullish on Kyler long term, I think it's a decision to be made. Mike, what would you do? Would you do it or not?
At this point right now, I don't think I would.
Okay.
If you tell me, like, if you lock in Marvin to the Arizona Cardinals, okay, now the conversation is even more interesting. But the NFL draft can be very painful to those who have very, really high rookie picks. Like, remember how excited everyone was and situation is not everything. I will say that. We say that all the time. But when JSN went to the Seattle Seahawks and everyone with the 102 went, I guess I still take him, or maybe I take Gibbs now. So with all the rumors abound, we got it. The Patriots at 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I'd really like to know the team first, if you want to let me know that.
I am not projecting that the Patriots are taking Marvin Harrison. I think that they should take a quarterback. But imagine a world where draft night happens and the Patriots take Harrison at number 3. How you're going to
collective groan.
You're going to feel like you got punched in the heart. seriously.
If you have that, that doesn't sound fun. I don't think I've ever been punched in my heart.
No, I think it could stop it.
Or if you
it's a death punch.
If you do have the Bears not take Caleb Williams, that they drew back 2 spots, and now he's number 2 for Justin Fields. There's ways it could go wrong. That's
fair. That's why it makes sense to keep what you know. It's tantalizing, though.
It is.
Oh, for sure.
Instagram question: what is the worst reason that you have passed on a guy in a fantasy draft?
Okay.
I think I know that I probably have passed on players because I almost don't want your takes to be right about them.
Okay. And that's the truth.
That, I mean, oh, don't give me that. I'm not alone. I'm not alone there, probably.
Okay.
I mean, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'm sure I've been sitting there with Michael Pittman at a value in a draft before.
Yeah.
Najee Harris, you think? I've probably made some wrong decisions before.
That's funny.
I don't know. That's the best thing I can come up with.
I think it's when you've been burned by a player. When you've got the scars from a previous season and you're like, that
Mike didn't have a lot of DeAndre Swift.
Right,
is what you're saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Mike wouldn't have drafted DeAndre Swift in the undrafted ranks. He wouldn't put him on the roster, even if he's a value last year, because of the scars from the year prior. I think that's the most common poor reason to miss out on a pick, but it's going to keep happening.
Do you have any must-have players already for next year's draft, regardless of value? This is a question from IrishBoy8 on Instagram.
Man.
Do you already have any must-have players for next season?
Yes. Kyron Williams. Kyron Williams is obviously he's going to be first, but he's like a must to me. I think he's the second best running back.
So then that top five discussion.
Yeah, so the
105.
When
we were bringing it up?
He was the name. We moved on, so I didn't go back to it, but I was going to bring Kyron up because I think he's right there.
That's a profound statement.
No one's on the must draft list, but the short list of I'm really intrigued would be like Anthony Richardson, assuming his shoulder is okay, because it was a tough surgery to come back from. We'll see if he's all right, but I think that he will be still a higher draft pick in the middle rounds, but what he can do fantasy-wise, I think he's going to be a really sought-after guy the following year.
I think Tank Dell is the name coming to mind.
Okay.
Did you see CJ Stroud talk about his super team?
Mm-mm.
He was on a Michael Parsons podcast, and he was asked to like build your perfect offensive lineup. So his wide receiver, it's always interesting when you ask a quarterback of an actual team to pick a team. So his wide receivers were Davante Adams on one side. Why am I forgetting the other side of the field? It was another big-time wide receiver.
And Tank Dell?
Tank was his slot guy.
Oh, baby.
And all the offensive,
not Nico.
No. Nico's and the offensive linemen were, you know, from other teams. And, you know, it's like
Nico's not
Lane
a
Jackson was his right tackle. And his running back, I don't remember who his running. Oh, it was Jahmyr Gibbs was his running back. You know what I mean? Like, so he built this super team out, but Tank Dell was a slot guy. And I just think he's so talented. Like, if you remember years ago when we kind of, like, saw Stephon Diggs in Minnesota, and it was like, oh, well, that guy's going to be a superstar. I don't care where he's drafted. Like, Tank Dell's on that path. So, all right, quick break. Back with some more questions.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. 7-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. Well, before we answer a couple more questions, I did want to throw a little shout out because we had Candace, who was she's a huge fan of the show. She was on Wheel of Fortune last week.
That's so awesome.
For NFL Superfan Week. And she wanted, she said she wanted to pimp the show, but they wouldn't let her.
Yeah. What's so, that all about, Sajak?
Yeah.
Don't mention the name of that show.
Is Sajak still
on
there?
Yeah, we're not talking about their show.
Yeah.
It's the one with the big wheel.
You can make a fortune.
You can make a lot of money.
What?
But shout out to Candace, who went to the bonus round.
If you could go on any game show, which one would you go on?
I'll tell you right now, I don't know the answer, but it will be the one with the least embarrassment possible to
me. Okay, you want to go low stakes.
I do not. Like, I think it's so Price
it's not,
is Right.
It's not Millionaire.
No, I think it's Price is Right, where, like, the worst thing that happens to me is I don't get a treadmill. You know what I mean?
Right. But and you lose, and then it's now someone else is up
yeah,
playing again.
Yeah, I don't.
We move on real fast.
I can't be there. I can't be there and do the like the Wheel of Fortune when they misread the answer.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Some and of those videos,
I mean, those can be brutal.
I can't be in that position because when I'm in when the pressure's on, I'm afraid I'm going to shrink.
Yeah,
and I don't know. Maybe I come through big time. Our own Al Borland was on a game show on a cruise ship this past week.
Wait, what?
In front of 2,000 people and won.
What?
You're darn right.
What game?
It was with his son.
It was called What's Age Got to Do With It, and it's a parent-child competition. Against
but he won it.
Wow. Yes.
So
oh,
that's
man.
A man that doesn't
I can't wait
shrink,
for this story.
At least in international waters.
I had one time where one of the Disneys, and I think it was basically, it was like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? But everyone gets to play. And
did you win it?
No. But the you as the person is playing, everyone in the audience is also playing, but time is a massive factor in it. So, I mean, you got to get it in, be right. And then there was about the halfway point before the next person comes up. And so they show, you know, who's leading. I was leading. And I went into a full panic attack.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, you're like.
The knowledge of the fact you were winning.
All you want is, oh, dude, I want to go do it. And then I'm actually staring down. And I'm just, you know, in front of 50 people or whatever. And the fact that I almost got to go up there, I just start sweating. My hands are all shaking. My heart starts going like 150. So
you have a game show, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as big a in to win, but man, I would love to do the Family Feud.
Yeah.
That's just fun. Yeah. Like, that game is fun.
They must drive it home to every person on that show that they have to clap and say good answer.
They have to.
Yes.
Yeah,
like that.
Sure.
Like
yes.
If you don't do it, they will. The big hook will come and grab you.
Yeah, you're not allowed on the show if you don't say good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
All right. Noah wants to know what Tyreek Hill's dynasty value is. Is it a good time to trade him away?
You know,
trade him to me. My team could use him.
I was going
to
say, Tyreek is one of those assets in Dynasty where he's very, very, very valuable to a contender, and he is not the right piece for a rebuild. I think he has two more seasons under contract.
Whether or not he follows through, he told us.
Yes.
He told the public when he was going to retire. I think
he was going to finish out this contract and then walk away. That was what he said. Obviously, things change. Plenty of players walk away when they don't expect and stay longer than they thought. But right now, that's kind of how I'm mentally valuing Tyreek Hill, is I'm seeing him as two more awesome seasons than zero, than nothing. Not like
two more. That's super valuable.
Yeah, and I agree. That's why I've got.
We have him at 5, 9, and 8 as a teaser for the dynasty rankings here. I have him at 5. Mike 8. Jason 9.
Yeah. So I mean, he's still a very valuable asset.
Yeah. Oh, if you're going for it, but if you are truly in a rebuild, looking at your roster, going this, I'm so far away from the playoffs, then I'd probably trade him away. If you're looking at your team with the rookie picks you have, saying, hey, if some things bounce right, I could get in the tournament. And that's all you got to do, is have players like Tyreek Hill once you're in the playoff situation and hope that they go nuclear in those couple weeks. Otherwise, I'd move him.
This question from Game Over says, are y'all dropping a fantasy baseballer podcast?
What are you talking about, my Diamondbacks?
Oh, you do have a D-backs. That's funny because all the baseball teams yesterday, the second the Super Bowl ended, they had their it's baseball season tweets going out. So, Jason, are you going to host that one for us?
Yeah, man.
Pitchers and catchers
report
on Wednesday.
Ryan. Okay, yeah. That's who you need to draft. He's so good at throwing the baseball.
Well, I mean, you must have a few other suggestions.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Fielder.
Hold on. Babe Ruth.
Oh, man. I really thought you could get
Gonzo? I can't remember his.
That's just Gonzo. The Muppet. Yeah. Yeah. This is where you're at in baseball names now.
Mariano Rivera.
Nice. Mike, you want to throw a few more in there?
Kent Herbeck.
Yes. We get some Craig Biggio up in here.
I know we have a good player on the D-backs, and the only name that's coming to my head is Corbin Dallas, which is that is the action star from Fifth Element.
It's Corbin Carroll.
It's Corbin Carroll.
Ah. Okay.
Corbin Dallas from Fifth Element. So what do you think? You answer the question for yourself out there.
Do you want to listen to it?
Whether you're,
just let us
would.
Know if this sounds.
The whole show is us naming players who are
from
the
90s.
Who are like, they're 80 years old or they're deceased already.
Jeff Bagwell.
Oh, man.
Oh, he was one of the Killer Bees, right?
Yeah, with Biggio.
Yeah.
Great job, Mike.
I wonder if you locked me in a room and you said, like, you have to name 50 baseball players.
And then they'll release your family from the hostage situation.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't get out of the room until I literally sit down and come up with 50.
Right.
I wonder if I could do it. Like, at all time.
Yeah. He starts naming characters from Field of Dreams.
Right. That's...
Hey, those were real players.
Yeah.
At some point.
All right. Alex Tabor says... Or asks, how do I convince my redraft league to switch to a keeper?
Ooh. Well, keepers are my
come
most...
On.
Yeah, you hit him with a...
Come on.
Keeper leagues are an absolute blast. That's my favorite format. Our league of record is a keeper where we basically get to take three players over to the next year. It gives us assets in draft picks to be able to trade. It allows the draft to still be extremely important and matter, just like a redraft, but it keeps it, you know, completely going. Like there's no real off season. Now we're in a part of our keeper league that can be fun again. Convincing other people to do it, that's the argument, that's the story. I think if you have one league that you're very close with, that's great, you know, and you're wanting to convert, you either will get the support naturally. People will be like, heck yeah, that sounds great, let's do it. And if they don't and you're needing to convince them, then what I would try is creating just a second league with that. Say, you know, let's keep that league going, but let's also add a keeper league. That would be my only advice of being able to try to convince people who aren't already in it.
Yeah, the part that I like about the keeper leagues is this changes strategy a bit, but then I've become more invested in certain players because you end up it's not all the time, but sometimes you'll have a guy kept for 3 or 4 years, which I actually think is more of a rarity now. But when you find that one player and you hit when they're in,
Antonio Brown is yours. Like, yeah. Antonio Brown is.
Yeah,
we know
him as Mike's.
Yeah, and you guys, you didn't get to the experience.
No, it was a torture chamber.
The greatness that was Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and that's why I'm really hoping I'm beginning that
with CD?
The CD Lamb lineage here.
You and me, both brothers.
You and me, broth. All right, we're gonna wrap it up. That's gonna be it. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back with another show on Thursday, a rookie review episode. So, for those of you like us, utterly obsessed with fantasy football, we don't go away. We kick it into gear right here, right now. UltimateDraftKit.com if you want to pick up the UDK and the UDK Plus. It's available right now at the lowest possible price. It is a pre-order discount. UDK Plus gives you access to all those dynasty rankings we referenced today, so you can set the table for a great 2024, bring home that Foot Clan title. Until next time, for Kent Herbeck, Jeff Bagwell, and Nolan Ryan, this is the Fantasy Footballers. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.